Proverbs 30. You notice at verse 1 that these are the sayings of Eger, son of Jakeh, an oracle. Solomon was the wisest of all the men who lived on the earth, but he also held symposiums with fellow wise men, and apparently he borrowed some of the sayings of a fellow wise man named Eger, son of Jakeh, and that the Holy Spirit then added this to the scriptures as the very word of God. Well, let's just read verses 24 through 28. One of the several oracles of Eger, the son of Jakeh. One of the five numerical sayings in Proverbs 30. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. Ants, conies, locusts, and lizards. May God use these to teach us his ways tonight and to help us to pray. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we read in 1 Kings 4 that Solomon composed over 3,000 proverbs. He spoke of trees, cedar that is in Lebanon, the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke of beasts and birds and reptiles and fish. As a representative of Christ, he loved all the creation that Jesus made. And he loved to see the wisdom of God in creation that is for us to learn. And so we aren't surprised that he loved these sayings from Eger, son of Jakeh, and that the Holy Spirit told him to take these sayings and add them to the scripture. Our text focuses on four little creatures. In addition to speaking of fire and eagles and snakes and servants and kings, Eger, son of Jakeh, here speaks also of ants and conies and locusts and lizards. And we're to learn by God's grace. We're to learn from these little creatures because God put these proverbs here to teach us how to live wisely here on earth. Foolishness abounds. And the greatest foolishness is people thinking they're great. People thinking they're powerful. It's the greatest deception. And these four creatures are little creatures to teach us how to be little people, seeking help from a big God, living humbly as little ones before a mighty one. So we're to learn here from God's little creatures. And in this sermon, I want to go through the four creatures, the four little creatures, ants, conies, locusts, and lizards, to see, first of all, with each creature, what place they have in the animal kingdom. And then, secondly, what we are to learn from them. So we'll look at each creature in turn, and after each creature, say, what are we to learn from this? Notice how the text begins. Verse 24, four things on earth are small. Here's the point. Four things on earth are small, but extremely wise. This is what we're to learn. In these four pictures, we meet very small and insignificant creatures who are wise way beyond their size. They're wise way beyond their size because of the way they recognize their smallness and weakness. And they compensate for their weakness and smallness through wisdom. And through wisdom, they become strong. That's how we're to live. That's how Christ teaches us to live. So first look at the ants. Verse 25, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Ants are related to the bee family. And as we talk about busy bees, we also know ants to be very busy creatures of God. They gather in colonies of up to millions. They're highly organized, very efficient in their operations. Ant societies even have a division of labor. They communicate between individuals, and they have an ability to solve complex problems, these little creatures. And mankind has been fascinated with ant cultures from the beginning and has compared them to people cultures and sought to learn from them. In fact, if you have another translation, you might read in verse 25, ants are people of little strength, because that's the comparison being made. That's the word in the Hebrew, ants are people of little strength. They slumber in the winter, but come spring and summer, they work hard to provide for themselves. They seize the day. They don't waste their time in idleness. They know they're little and they're weak and they better get to work or they will not survive, let alone thrive. They don't sleep when they should be awake. They don't kick back when they should be working. One author puts it this way, when you enter into an ant town, the sign above the gateway into the ant town is 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If you will not work, neither shall you eat. That's the work ethic of the ant. They have towns. Ants have public roads. They're renowned for industry, for being busy. These creatures that are so small, your four-year-old can step on a little ant and squish it, and nobody knew, not even the four-year-old. But because they're so small and vulnerable, they work hard to preserve and to provide for themselves. And through their hard work, they become formidable. They even become dangerous because of their wisdom. Now, what does God want us to learn from them? We too are weak and we have to fight to survive, let alone thrive. We shouldn't take our food and livelihood for granted. That's why we've come together. We shouldn't take the road of socialism that says it's society's job to pay my way, and to pay my education, and to pay my health care, and to pay my wage, and to pay my pension, and to pay for this, and to pay for that. No! God wants us to be wise and to apply our skills to living and to be good stewards of our talents and time and strength and money and to make hay while the sun shines and to be industrious and hardworking. Not only materially, but spiritually. You've got a faith to build and grow, congregation. Let's be good stewards of that gift of faith and not be sluggards when it comes to building our faith. But like the ants, be diligent in the word of God and prayer to grow in faith and every grace and to work out our salvation so that each day and each year we look more and more like Jesus Christ. And so as weak people, we don't take our livelihood for granted. We need strength to work for it, and we need to pray that God will give us that strength and that work and that industry and all that we need. Because in our own, we don't have it. Ants are creatures of little strength. People are creatures of little strength. And so Solomon says in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Doesn't need somebody with a whip to drive her. She's motivated by her need, by the way God made her to do this. Secondly, look at the conies. Verse 26, conies are creatures. Again, the word is people in the Hebrew. Conies are people, creatures of little power. Yet they make their home in the crags, in the rocks, in the cliffs. I wonder if you've ever met a coney. Ever met a coney? It's also called a rock hyrax. Ever met a rock hyrax? Or sometimes called a rock badger or a dassie. Ever met a dassie or a rock badger? Probably not, unless you've been to a zoo. Well, they're a little animal, like an oversized guinea pig, something like a rabbit, found in the Middle East and Eastern Africa. They've rounded ears, no tail, stumpy toes, and hoof-like nails. They're shy, they're timid, they're defenseless, and that such a little weak creature is able to survive and more than that thrive is amazing. How can such a little weak thing thrive? It's their wisdom. They recognize they're weak and little and defenseless. They see that their strength lies not in themselves, but in the rock where they live, the crags, the cliffs. And their safety lies in the fact that they're so quick to run and hide when the alarm is sounded. Conies are known to, when they go out and eat as a group, to have a lookout. And when the lookout senses danger, makes lots of noise, and everybody goes back into their caves very quickly. And that's their strength, is that they don't proudly say, I'm going to live out in the middle of the field and fight off those hyenas. I'm not going to be some chicken living in the crags. No, they're not proud. I need to live by the rock, or I'm in trouble, because that's my only strength. Well, God says, that's you, my people. Conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the rocks. And God is called the rock and refuge of his people for the exact same reason. Whether we're speaking of physical and material needs like bread and food and housing and shelter and work, or spiritual needs, salvation and maintaining our salvation, we need to run and hide out in God. We are no match for floods and droughts and storms and hail and viruses, other plagues that can strike our livestock, our crops, our businesses, and our own lives. We need help. We need refuge. We need the Lord. Only he can give us our daily bread. We're here because we're conies. We're little. We're weak. But we have a strong God, and we gladly rest in him, and we say he is great. It's also true spiritually. We're under the wrath of God. We're under his judgment. But he's given us a hiding place, Jesus Christ, his son, who is the rock. And God put his pounding eternal wrath on his son. And Jesus took it for us willingly. And we can hide in that rock and be rescued from that judgment of God. But also from the assaults of Satan and from the weakness of our own flesh. God is totally covered. God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit's power, he's the only rock who can shelter you from life's destructive storms. Jesus is the only place where you can hide, the only rock who can protect you. And if we're out there thinking we're great creatures, we're marvelous people, we're awesome in power and strength and cleverness, and we are sending the wrong message to ourselves, to our families, to the world, because we're not. And only God's blessing can give us what we have and grow what we have. And only God's blessing can take us through times when we have not. Times of temptation and times of grief and sorrow. We're conies. And he's our protection. Thirdly, look at the locusts. 27. Locusts have no king. Yet they advance together in ranks. They have no king, meaning they have no protector. They're usually on their own, and like ants, they're squished underfoot. Oh, but when they get together, as they do by instinct, they form a mighty, fearsome army. Even though they have no commander, they just bunch up and they go in an orderly fashion. Listen to what the prophet Joel says about the invading locusts. Here's how he describes them. Joel 2. They run like elite soldiers, climbing walls like men trained for war. Each man advances in proper order, never breaking rank. Neither does a man crowd his fellow soldier. Each one marches in his own path. They never break rank, neither do they crowd each other. That's the locust. Fearsome. Devastating when they get together. Their armies can number into the billions, even with modern technology. Swarming of locusts is still a problem. 15 years ago in Utah, there was a plague of locusts, and they had to get out the snowplows to clear the roads. And that's just in 2003. They're weak. They're little. But they find great strength in unity. That's the point. They find great strength in unity and working together as one body. That's what makes them strong. If they look for strength in themselves, they would never be strong. But they advance together in ranks. The ant finds its strength in industry. The coney finds its strength in protection. The locust finds its strength in unity. What a reminder for us as God's children, alone, we're weak and defenseless. God gave us the body of Christ to be the army of God that marches, not to bring destruction, but to bring blessing to one another and to the world. And we don't do this by instinct, like the locusts do, but through the blood of Jesus Christ who washed us, took us out of the world, and the Spirit of Christ who put us into the body and calls us to love and serve one another. Matthew Henry writes, "A sense of weakness should engage us to keep us together." You see, where strength, where pride lives, we can live separately. I don't need you. You don't need me. You might need me, but I certainly don't need you. But as Matthew Henry says, a sense of weakness engages to keep us together that we might strengthen the hands of one another. That's true again, materially and spiritually, when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." We're not saying, "My Father in heaven, give me today my daily bread." Jesus said, I want you to think corporately. He's our Father together as the family. We ask Him to give us our daily bread. We're concerned for one another. We commit to help one another in times of disaster and disability. And we pray God will give us grace to help and serve one another so that no one needs to walk alone and defenseless through trial. That's true also spiritually. That in our walk with the Lord and our faith, we need one another. When we wander, we need one another. When we're tempted, we need one another. When we are assaulted, we need one another. When we sorrow, we need one another. We need one another all the time. Don't walk alone, says wisdom. Look at the locust. Strength lies in unity. And don't allow anybody else to walk alone. As people saved by Christ, let's walk together, pray together, serve together, share our possessions, griefs, sorrows, burdens with one another. And this is one of the ways the Lord Jesus takes care of us. And this is what we seek also in prayer tonight. We're little. Little like ants, little like conies, little like locusts. And wisdom means we see that, we recognize that, we admit that, we humble ourselves before that, and we take steps to compensate for that. The first step of looking to the Lord to give us all that we need so that in our weakness He makes us strong. And so look at the lizard. There's a unique example here, verse 28, a lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it's found in king's palaces. This likely refers to the stellion or the spotted lizard, an olive green Mediterranean lizard with black star shaped spots, a little harmless, defenseless, not poisonous creature found climbing walls, walking across ceilings. You've probably seen them if you've been in another country. It can find its way into any home through very small holes, and these lizards live dangerously because the maid of the house is always after them, trying to grab them with her hands, shoo them out of the building, hit them with her broom. And yet there they are. There they are. And they survive and they thrive. And in fact, they find their way into the most prestigious places in the world, king's palaces. How on earth? Here's another piece of wisdom for the child of God. The king does not want you in his palace, brother, sister. You're not the king's friend. The world wants you out of the way too, you know. They're always after you to grab you, get rid of you, hit you with their broom. But you know what? If you live wisely, godly in faith like Joseph did in Daniel, you can find your way even into high places and serve the Lord in unexpected palaces far beyond your size and power, all by the work of God, because you commit yourself to His care. And that's what's shocking about the church of Jesus. In spite of so much persecution under so many empires over so many centuries, the church continues to find its way into high places across the globe, across the centuries, and even thrives. That's impossible, but when God's children live for Him, He opens a door for them to stand before kings like Paul, stood before Festus and Felix and Herod Agrippa and maybe even Caesar. And then Paul greets members of the church in Philippi in Philippians 4 verse 22. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Wait, we got people in the church of Rome who are members of Caesar's household. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it's found in king's palaces. And so we stand before God tonight as little creatures who are weak in ourselves, and we should not imagine or pretend any differently. And we've come together to say that. We put no confidence in ourselves. The Lord does not delight in the strength of a horse or the legs of a man. He delights in the one who fears him. And so we rely on the Lord to strengthen us and provide for his people and to protect us and to give us a place to serve, even maybe in a king's palace or anywhere else. That comes from him. And we pray that he will make us mighty by his strength so we can do our work like the ant and find shelter daily in all situations like the coney and work together as Christ's army like the locusts and be given access to unexpected places like lizards to serve him. May he so bless us with this wisdom to see our littleness and his greatness. And as we come to him with that wisdom, may he bless us abundantly, body and soul, with physical and spiritual blessings. Amen.